Once again tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. This now is the fifth message in this series, which is the last message. And I hope in these this month of study of this one verse of Scripture, that you, when you read that again, there'll be some things maybe that will be called to your attention and to your memory from the messages that we've had. I'm just looking through these notes. We started back in last month on the fifth day of the month and the first Sunday of that month, now finishing up tonight. And using these verses here, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7, as a kickoff point and a verse of Scripture to be used here in these verses. Series entitled, His Name Shall Be Called. And we'll notice in this verse again tonight, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm glad, thank God, that these things that we've read in these last four Sunday nights, and here tonight being the fifth, I'm glad that the zeal of the Lord shall perform these things, because that He has promised that to us. Now tonight I want us to take the last portion of the verse number 6 and entitle just simply, The Prince of Peace. We've noted so far in these nights, we've noticed that His name shall be called Wonderful. And I'm glad He is a wonderful Savior to me. Not only to me, but to the entire world of folks that will come to know Christ. He becomes a wonderful Savior to them. Then we notice that He's a Counselor, and how that He guides us and He directs us in every path of life. A lot of folks need a counselor today. A lot of folks go to psychiatrists, and a lot of folks go to religious counselors. A lot of folks go to doctors, and they just need somebody to tell them what to do. And so many people don't seem like know which direction to go. But I'm glad when we've got the Lord as our counselor, then He's our guide, and He can direct our footsteps, and He can direct our path. He is our wonderful counselor. Then we noted that He's the Almighty God. He is God in the flesh, and came and dwelt among men. And then He went back to the portals of glory, and one day He's coming again. We noticed last week that He's the Everlasting Father. Not only is He a Son, but He's the Father. And that's hard for us to comprehend, but when you get into the works of the Trinity and the work of Word of God, those things are hard, but we know that He is the Everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, the Son of God, the Everlasting Father. Then tonight, we find Him as the Prince of Peace. There's been a lot of people that have wondered about what the Prince of Peace is all about. Like most important words in the vocabulary that we have, the word peace takes on many different facets. A lot of folks say that people are peaceful when they are looking over a calm lake. That's a peaceful surrounding, and truly that is. When they go to the woods and just hear the animals and the birds, they have peace. They get that from a peaceful nature that's around them. We see a child at sleep, and we say, aren't they peaceful? And all those things represent to us a form of that word peace. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And I want us to think tonight about this thing of peace. To the Old Testament Jew, the word peace meant much more than silence or an absence of war. It had a far greater meaning than that. The word shalom, which means peace, just simply meant that person had possessions that are adequate resources. They had adequate possessions to do that which they needed to do, and therefore they had peace. And had nothing to do with these situations outside, but has everything to do with the conditions on the inside. You say, well, how do you mean that? Well, I've seen someone sitting on maybe a park bench or somewhere, and they would be, you could tell there was on end, their nerves were shot, and they were taking their cigarettes one after another. And they had all kind of peaceful surrounding them, but they were not at peace. They may were taking their booze, and they were pacing back and forth when everything around them was peaceful and quiet, but yet they had no peace. And then I've also seen people, and I'm sure you have, walking down a busy street, and they had a smile on their face, and things going by, hustle and bustle of the crowd, but yet they had happiness and joy in their soul. And the difference in that, all the surroundings are different, but down deep in their heart, they were at peace with themselves, and the reason for that is peace with God. You cannot have peace until you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot know peace until you know the Prince of Peace. We'll not have peace individually until the Prince of Peace comes and rules in our heart. And we'll not have peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes again to establish that rule of peace. I want us to notice some things about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. We notice here that the child is born, the Son is given. We've already established the fact that that is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, we've used this verse every week, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And in the New Testament, they said, "Emmanuel, God with us." And we have the reality of Jesus Christ being what the Old Testament said he would be, a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And then tonight, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our peace. There we find his character. The very character of God is one that gives peace. The very character of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of peacefulness and that which brings about a solemnness in our heart. He was a man of peace. He could fall asleep in the midst of a storm while all the disciples were around, fearful that they were going to die and fearful that the ship was going to go down. And they found Jesus down in the hull of the ship, and he was sound asleep. Wonder why he could do that? Because he was a man of peace. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going on. He knew what direction was going to take place. And so they find him asleep right in the midst of the storm. He could same one. He could face the 5,000 men there that day that were weary and faint, and they had hunger. And he could face them without any fear, knowing that he was the bread of life and that he had the means whereby to bless those little fragments of things of that little boy's lunch and could feed that entire group. He didn't have no fear. He had peace about that. He's not frightened. He was not frightened by the maniac of Gadara, that man that no one could hold, and the fetters could not hold him and the chains could not bind him. But Jesus wasn't afraid of him because he was the man of peace. He was able to surrender to the mob that was going to crucify him. And he didn't struggle, he didn't fight, but he surrendered them peacefully and said, "Here I am, ready to be offered." Pilate marveled at his silence. He said, "Don't you speak? Don't you know that I have within my power of your life?" And Jesus told him emphatically that he had no power except that power that was given him of God. And so we find that Jesus Christ was a man of peace, and that is his character. And therefore, when we become a child of God, when we become a Christian, our character ought to be that is peaceful, that which is one that is congenial and one that will try to help people. And when we have the right character in our life, when Jesus Christ comes into our soul, he's the Prince of Peace. Not only was he a man of peace, but he's a man of righteousness. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 32, verse number 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. I'm glad that Jesus Christ gives peace to the troubled heart and the troubled soul, and he's the one that can give assurance forever. Why? Because he's the God of peace. He's the God of righteousness, and righteousness and peace go together. They work together. We find that our Lord's first concern was over righteousness. He desired that people be found righteous. He desired that people would have the right spirit and the right attitude, because then he knew if they had the right heart and the right attitude and had righteousness prevailing in their heart, then they would be at peace, not only with God, but with each other. You know why a lot of folks have trouble with each other? Because they don't have any peace with God. The reason they fuss and fight and fume and all that stuff that goes on in the Christian so-called world is because they don't have any real peace that comes from God. They don't have the character of God in their heart and in their life. So we find that Jesus Christ, he was a man not only of peace but of righteousness. He had not on his lips these words, "Peace at any price." I've heard some people say, "Well, to have peace at any price." There, that all that will do to you and all that does for you is to have peace at any price. You'll have to compromise what you believe. Now, I believe there's a time to have peace. And I believe there's a time that we live peaceably with all men as much as possible. But folks, there is a time that if peace has to go, we have to stay by the stuff and say, "This is what thus saith the Lord." And if that brings about a battle, if that brings about a fight, if that brings about discouraging looks upon us, and that brings about ridicule to us, then just so be it, because you do not have peace at any price without paying the price of compromise. I believe we've got to stand for that which is right. Stand for this book and preach the gospel, the word of God, to every man like they're dying creatures because they are. Not worry about what somebody might say or what somebody might think. Just be right with this book and let the Lord take care of the rest of it. He will do that. But to say, well, I want to have peace with so-and-so just because I'm not of that character and that nature, then you're going to compromise. You're going to give up something because that crowd, all they want to do is take your peace from you. This world tonight is a hater of God, is an enemy of our Savior, a despiser of the Word of God, and to have peace with the world, you've got to give up something. If you're going to live peaceably in this world, then you're going to have to give up something. If you go down to the job tomorrow and you just live peaceably, everything goes right and everything goes just like it ought to and there's no problem, somewhere down the line there's going to be a difference between you and them because you're saved and maybe they're not. And what is peace anyway? I think the greatest peace a person can have is a peace of heart, a peace of mind, that they're doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. And so to give up peace at any price is to give up those things that we hold dear. There's some folks that say, well, I don't like a fight. I don't either. But sometimes you have to fight. Sometimes you have to stand. Sometimes you just have to say, this is the way it is, and we're not going to change and not going to back up on that. Peace without righteousness is victory for evil. If you have peace without righteousness, and if you have a getting together without righteousness, then you have victory only for evil. The Bible says in Jeremiah, chapter number 6, verse number 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Here we find that Jeremiah the prophet said they've come along and they've cried, peace, peace. He said there's no peace, but they've healed the daughter slightly. Just for a little while. But somewhere down the line, peace is going to give way to war. Somewhere down the line, peace will give way to anger. And when things are not right and things are not congenial together, then there can be no peace until you get those things right with the Lord. They have healed the hurt of the daughter, scarcely. Just a little bit, slightly. But he says they've done that by saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. This world tonight, boy, just a few months ago, we was hearing loud and long that we was in peace and the world was doing great. Don't hear that much anymore, do we? Don't hear that now. 6 weeks ago, they were talking about just laying down their arms and just forgetting about war because the world had gotten so good and people working together so well and there wasn't any more enemies. And all of a sudden, that wild man over there comes in and invades Kuwait. And now we've got thousands of young men over with arms ready to go to war. Well, what happened to the peace? Well, they've cried peace, peace when there was no peace. They cried safety when destruction is coming upon them. They're looking for an answer when the only answer is in the Word of God. And the only answer is with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 57, verse number 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. This wicked world, we were talking about it, about this in the prayer group a while ago. It's a strange thing. They go to a country that does not believe in God. Don't you ever let somebody tell you that those Muslims believe in the same God we believe in. They do not. The Muslim religion is a false religion. And they worship not the God we worship. They'll come along and say, oh, we worship the same God, we just have him named differently. No, they don't worship the God that we worship. They worship Muhammad, and he's still in the grave. I worship the Savior, and he's at home in heaven. And he's not in the grave. He's forever alive with the Father. We don't worship the same God, but we were talking in our prayer group a while ago. It's a terrible statement that has to be said, that they're more moral than we are. They have more morality in Saudi Arabia than we do in America tonight. They was talking about on the news the other day that somebody had sent some pictures to one of the soldiers and the lady was not dressed in proper attire, and they just took the picture and said, you can't have it. You can't send any magazines. You can't even send a Sears catalog over there because of the way the models are in the catalog. Now we laugh at that. We say, boy, isn't that silly? No, they've got more morals than we've got. Can't send a pornographic book, but you can go down here, down the road, and you can buy them, not worry about it. You can't send any movies, that'd be wrong, but You can go down to the store and get them. Go look at them. Go down here to the movie house and have it. You can do all that. And you can do, we can see more on TV than what they'd allow in their country. Well, that's a bad epitaph on America. Amen. That's a sad statement that a country that is a denier and a hater of the God of heaven has more morals than America that's supposed to be a God-fearing country. It's terrible. Amen. One day, thank God, that's all I'm going to be over with. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, they may have more morals than America has as a nation, but they don't have any more morals than a child of God has. You see, morality comes from God. It doesn't come from a set of rules. It doesn't come from a code of ethics. That's where we've gone wrong. We've tried to sign up everybody. We've tried to get them to sign up and so they can do this and so they can do that. And we want to make them do this and make them do that before they can do anything. But morality and right living comes from God. And a person that's born again, they're going to get in the book and they're going to find out, and then they're going to conform their lives to what this book says. Amen. Morality is not legislated. It's not given out, but it comes from God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find that Jesus brings peace because He is peace. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's that third one? Peace. The fruit of the Spirit, that which is within us. Just as I've said here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, that it doesn't say His names shall be called, neither does it say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Singular, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. On and on you can find the fruit of the Spirit, and that's in the child of God. And the person that has been born again and to know Jesus Christ is to know far above rubies. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know peace in your heart. Peace with the God of heaven, peace with your fellow man. To know Him is to know all. So we find that the Prince of Peace, His character is that which is of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find, secondly, that there's been peace with God and man. And that talks about His cross. Not His character now, but His cross. Peace with God and man. You see, many, many years ago, there was a great disturbance in this world. Man said, I'll do what I want to do. And there was a gap made, and there was a division. There was a separation. But all, thank God, on the cross of Calvary, those divisions, that gulf can be bridged over by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that peace with God and man is possible because of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died. If you would, turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians tonight, chapter number 1, verse number 20. And having made peace, oh, thank God, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now notice here, the gulf can be bridged over by the cross of Calvary. The Bible says here that we have been made peace through the blood of His cross. All the modernists and the infidels and the liberals, they don't want to talk about the cross. Because when you talk about the cross, you're going to talk about the blood. You're going to talk about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to heaven except by the cross of Calvary. You can go every direction you want to go. You can go a Baptist way. You can go a Methodist way. You can go a holiness way. You can go any way you want to go. But the way to heaven is the way of the blood sprinkled way, the cross of Calvary. If a person will preach and teach that, a man, a woman, boy, a girl, get saved. Doesn't matter what they call themselves. If they'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of the blood. We find here that He did that by Him to reconcile, to bring together that which was taken apart, that which was separated. Oh, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were separated from God. And God came walking in the cool of the day and He said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was hid there in the garden. He said, why are you hid, Adam? Adam said, I didn't want you to see my nakedness, Lord. And God said, who told you he is naked? Well, up until that time, they were innocent. They didn't understand. They didn't know. Now they've taken the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they know that something's wrong. And they've tried to bring out the fig leaves. And they've tried to do all the works that man can do. But it took this blood sprinkle away. God had to go out and kill the lamb. Go out and kill that animal and put upon them coats of skin. If you'll read in the study this out, you'll find that those fig leaves were just barely enough to cover their exposed body. Just barely enough. That's what people have today, just barely enough. But the Bible, when God took, he made them coats of skin. And those coats, that represent, which would cover from head to toe, Jesus Christ, thank the Lord, he reconciles us together. He covers our sin. He makes us new in the Lord. We've been made reconciled. We've been justified because of him. And the Bible says you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. Go back, if you would, in your mind before you got saved. What kind of creature were you? So, I don't like to think about that. What kind of person was you before you got saved? Some of you would have to say, well, I was a drunk. Some of you have to say, well, I was dirty and undone. I was filthy. I was vile. I was ungodly. I was without hope. That's where all of us are. Notice here what happens. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Those things that are in our mind comes out in our hands. Comes out in our lives. And those things that we live and breathe and talk about, all of a sudden we end up doing them. And we say, well, I wish I could quit that. Some of you fellows, some of you men that were so bound down by the alcohol, I'm sure many times you say, well, I wish I could quit that on my own. Every day you'd get up and you'd have a big drunk that night before you'd get up the next morning and say, oh, I'm going to do better. I'm going to change my lifestyle. But the same thing happened the next weekend. You know why? You didn't have the power to do that. But oh, thank God, we that were enemies, we that were aliens, we that were foreign to God, we that were away from the commonwealth of God, we've been made whole, we've been reconciled unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be some folks in here today that have that very problem. Oh, you get up and say, man, my head hurts. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's terrible. But you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own power. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the things of the Lord. There are sometimes alien. Nathan, enemies in your mind by wicked works. Notice there it says, yet now hath he reconciled. Glory be unto God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've been reconciled. We've been brought back in fellowship. What by? It says, in the body of his flesh through death. The blood that was sprinkled, the blood that was poured out, the blood that was shed there upon Calvary's tree has reconciled us unto God if we will believe him, if we'll trust him. So Jesus brings peace. Because he is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. We have peace with God and God and man because of the cross of Calvary. Sin separated man from God. Separated man from man. But now we have reconciliation. Calvary is the great meeting place. In the book of Psalm number 85, verse number 10, the Bible says mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I believe that happened at the cross of Calvary. We find that the cross brings those two areas together. It took the blood to make peace between God and man. Peace with God means and equals peace with man. If you want to have peace with your fellow man, you've got to have peace with God first, or it'll not last. It'll not help. Reconciliation. I studied a little bit this afternoon in the book of Acts. Boy, I found out something that I never had really. I knew it, but it never had dawned on me. In the book of Acts, you see reconciliation. In Acts chapter number 8, you have an Ethiopian. If you know anything about Ethiopians, they're black people. Thank God he loves the black just like he does white. Now God set the boundaries, and I don't believe in all this intermingling and mixing. But God loves a black man just like he does a white man. And in Acts chapter number 8, you'll find that there's an Ethiopian eunuch. He was a religious man, but he was a lost man. And you'll find that an Ethiopian is a descendant of Ham. There's reconciliation there. Because he said, I'm reading this message, and Philip talked to him and preached to him right there at that scripture. And he preached unto him Jesus. And he was reading what we have in our Bible is Isaiah chapter number 53. and he became a child of God. He was reconciled unto the Lord. And so there is a son of Ham that comes under reconciliation, comes under the grace of God. You go over to the next chapter, Saul. Oh, that wicked man Saul. He was a Jew of all Jews. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. And here we have the son of Seth. Here we have the offspring, the seed of Seth. You'll find it after the flood, there was three seeds. There was three directions that the world was going to go. There was Ham, there was Shem, and there was Japheth. The Hamitic people became the black people. That's their originality. Where they come from, the origination of that. The Hamites, they're blacks. The Semitic people are the Jew. And in Acts chapter number 9, you find Saul coming to know Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. So you have a Hamite coming under reconciliation. You have a Semitic man of Shem. He coming under reconciliation. Then you go to Acts chapter number 10. Oh, thank God, there you have Japheth. There you have Cornelius. He's a Gentile. I read that this afternoon. My heart overflowed in joy to thank God for reconciliation to the Jew, the Gentile, whoever they are. We have salvation in Him. We're reconciled by the blood of His cross. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what color we are. Doesn't matter how far we can trace back our lineage. Jesus Christ died that we might have life. We have reconciliation to give peace. Become a member. Oh, there's three different family groups. Now under the Lord Jesus Christ, they're members of one family. No longer Jew or Gentile, male, female, bond or free. But now we're in the family of God. The walls are broken down. In Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 28, the Bible says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's because of reconciliation in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the family of God. Thank the Lord that peace comes because God and man can meet at Calvary. Amen. We meet there at Calvary. We have peace in His companionship. You can have peace, and Paul could be in a ship. He could be tossed to and fro. And he said, "Fear not, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve." And he said, "We don't have to fear. We're not going to lose any, no soul is going to die. We're going to lose the ship." You can read that in Acts chapter 27. He said, "We'll lose everything, but no soul is going to die." Why? Because he had peace with God. Those men were tossing to and fro, and they were fearful. And Paul, the Bible says, after long abstinence, Paul came up and said, "Men, be of good cheer." Well, that's a strange statement when you're about to go under. That's a difficult thing to say, be of good cheer. You know why he could say that? Because I believe in that long abstinence, Paul had been alone with God. He'd been down to the hull of that ship, tossed to and fro. He maybe had to hold on to something to stay where he was, to be praying to God. That ship was rolling and tossing and about to go under. All of a sudden, he had the answer from God. And he says, "Fellas, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right because the angel of the Lord spoke to me." You know what that brings? Peace. Thank God. Our companionship that we have, peace cannot be brought. It cannot be bought at a drugstore like a tranquilizer. Peace can't be bought like a vacation rest somewhere just to relax. But peace is a gift that comes from God. The only way you can get it is that God give it out to you. The Bible says in the Word of God, "Peace be unto you." Four times the Bible says, Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." The only way He could do that is because in every one of those times is after the resurrection. The only way we can have peace is that He arose from the dead. And we have liberty. We have life tonight. Because of Him. Not only is there peace in His character, not only is there peace in His cross, not only is there peace in His companionship, but lastly tonight, there's peace in His coming. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Oh, folks, He's coming. You've heard it, but Jesus is coming soon. Soon He's going to come, and we're going to be with Him. I got to thinking, there's peace in heaven tonight because Jesus is there. There's peace in my heart tonight because Jesus is there. And one day there's going to be peace to the heathen because Jesus will be there. Oh, He's coming again. And those that will receive Him, He'll in no wise cast out. He'll reconcile them to God. He'll make them back in fellowship to the Lord. The Bible says of the increase of His government and peace, there should be no end. upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Thank God tonight we have a Savior. And in his name you have all the areas of life. Let me read to you once again, maybe the first statement. That takes care of our decisions of life. We find that he's the mighty God. That takes care of the demands of life. He's the everlasting Father. That takes care of all the dimensions. You ever how far you go, he's the Almighty God. And then tonight, he's the Prince of Peace. And that takes care of all the disturbances of life. If you're disturbed, if you have problems, thank God he's the one that gives peace. There's a lot of folks tonight, really and truly, there's a lot of people that are really disturbed. The enemy, the wicked one, Satan, he knows how to attack us. What's the easiest way for a person to get out of the house of God? Discouragement. Discouragement. Just being discouraged. Just saying, well, nobody cares. Just feeling like that it's just no use going on. Boy, old Satan, he'll come along and say, you're exactly right. Don't nobody care about you. That's why it's important that we show people we care. Because we don't know who Satan's talking to. And we just need to show somebody we care about them. And he's the Prince of Peace. And so therefore, every disturbance that comes our way, thank God he can take care of it. He is my Savior. He's my Prince of Peace. Thank God he's coming. There's peace in heaven tonight. There's peace in my heart. What about your soul? What about your heart? What about your life? Is there peace there? There can be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes in and takes up his abode in your life. Child of God, has the devil come along? Has he just given you fits? Just turn it over to the Lord. Just give it over to God. And say, well, I just can't do that. Until you can learn to trust the Lord, then he's going to come along and he's going to disturb you. He's going to give you problems. He's going to give you trials. He's going to give you testing. And when you can turn it over to God, thank God, he's the Prince of Peace. And he can give you perfect peace. And you can say, like the Apostle Paul, there's, be of good cheer. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve. Thanks be unto God. He is the Prince of Peace. Let's stand tonight. Is he your prince? Has he given you peace? If not, then you need to let him have his way with you tonight. Or you may have some of the problems that we talked about. There may be some real difficulties in your life. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you have a real difficulty. If you're here lost, you have a real problem. If you're here lost, you have no peace whatsoever. The Bible says the wicked are like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. Have you ever been to the ocean? It's never still. You'll never find the ocean still. There's always waves coming in, going back out. Coming in, going back out, to and fro. And the Bible says that a wicked man, and by the way, all lost people are wicked. We need to learn that. There's not good sinners and bad sinners. There's sinners. And the Bible says that we are wicked. The Bible says that a person that is lost, that he's a wicked man. That's why we have wickedness running rampant in our country tonight. Because wickedness prevails in high places. And wicked men will do wicked things. Their lives are like the waves tossing to and fro. Never still, never at ease, and no peace. If you're here tonight like that, you can turn it over to the Prince of Peace, and he'll settle your soul. He'll give you a peace and a stillness that you've never known before because you've come to know him. You'll be reconciled, brought back into fellowship with him. Our Father, Lord, we pray now that you take the message. Lord, if there's those here that need God, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd speak to their heart. Make them realize that if they go out of this building tonight, it may be the last time they ever hear a gospel message. It may be the last time that they ever sit under the reading of the Word of God. They lost the wicked without God, without hope. If they go off into eternity, they'll never hear another message. They'll never hear a song. Never hear another gospel song. All they'll be is in the midst of the turmoils of hell throughout all eternity. Oh God, tonight would you speak to hearts. Then Lord, to those of us that are Christians, those of us that are saved, I pray, dear Lord, that we'd realize that if we are saved, we don't have to be disturbed in this world. That we can turn it all over to you. That you're the one that can handle our problems. A lot of times we think we can handle them, but God, you're the only one that can take care of our problems. Now, God, I pray that you take the messages that we've had in these 4 or 5 weeks now, and his name shall be called. Dear Lord, I'm glad you reveal yourself by your name. And Lord, I pray tonight that we'd ever look to you as the wonderful counselor, the almighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Lord, may we ever look to thee as our Savior. And Lord, when the devil comes along, may we leave it with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number are we? Page number 383. Tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, then you ought to take this opportunity. You ought to take this time and say, yes, I'll do what God have me to do. I'll be what I want, ought to be. You don't have to wake up anymore like I was talking about a while ago. The hangovers and the problems and the guilt. You know, a lot of people, they're going out and committing suicide because they're so guilt-ridden. They don't know what to do with their guilt. They don't know what to do with the things of life. You see, God made man to have fellowship with him. That fellowship was broken in the garden. And when man rebels against God and against the things of God, there's guilt in that heart. And a man that does not know what to do with his guilt, he does not know, then the only thing left for him is to get out of it. I have people say, well, I'd be better off dead. No, you won't. If you're lost, you'd be far better off living. Amen. You'd be far better off breathing. Because when you die and go to hell, there's no second chance for you. What about it tonight? Jesus paid it all. He did everything that's possible. There cannot be one more thing done to bring about your salvation than that which has already been done. Not anything else. So tonight I ask you, would you let him have his way? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Oh, thank God he washed it white as snow. Let's sing tonight. Would you come? My strength is small. What about it tonight? Would you let him have his way? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Let's go ahead and sing another stanza. What about it tonight? Would you come? I'm just thinking about that Ethiopian, that black man, sitting in his chariot. Philip came and joined himself to him on the word of the Lord. That's why it's so very important to be under the leadership of the Spirit of God. God told him to go down to the desert. Philip didn't know why, but God knew there was a man down there and needed him. And this man was reading, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. About that time, Philip went up to that chair and he said, "Who are you reading about? Do you understand what you're reading?" And that Ethiopian, he said, "Well, I'm reading about some man. And I don't know who he is." I'm glad Philip had the privilege to lead that Ethiopian to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Is he speaking of himself or some other man?" Was Isaiah talking about himself or was he talking about somebody else? He said, "I cannot know unless some man show me." There's three men in that verse, in those verses of Scripture in Acts chapter 8. There's a man of Ethiopia. That man represents the entire world. Amen. Had a need. Then he said, "Is he speaking of himself or some other man?" I'm glad Philip began at that very verse of Scripture and preached unto him the man, Christ Jesus. And he got saved. That's what we try to do. That's what we try to encourage folks to do, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gives peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of eternity. That's the Lord. You ought to come tonight. I'm assured of one thing. Somebody needs to come tonight for some reason. Maybe you're here lost. Oh, I hope you heard as I prayed, this may be your last opportunity. You may pull out here on 41, a little bit farther out here, and it'll be the last time you ever pull your car out of anywhere. You say, "Oh, that won't happen to me." There's a lot of people in hell tonight said that wouldn't happen to them. It don't even have to be out on 41. You can pull right out here. The way they come around these curves sometime, they can take you right here. And by the way, you don't have to be in a car. You may fall dead before you walk out these doors. And if you do, it'll be the last time you ever hear a gospel message. And you'll stand before a holy and a righteous God. I don't know about you, but that gives me a shuddering thought. Not a fear, but a fear for you. And I'm glad if I walk out here tonight and I go down here and have the same problem that you could have, I don't have to worry about it. I'm going home. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I got peace in my heart. Because I have the Prince of Peace. There's peace in heaven, yeah, but there's peace right here. Thank God for it. One more stanza tonight. We'll not keep you longer. I'm not going to drag it out. But if you need to come, you ought to come. Let him have